I think you know that one of my favorite things in medicine is how I treat series in blood. And I know you have a paper there on how and when I do allogeneic transplant in CLL. So I recommend everybody to read the paper, but maybe you can sort of give us the bottom line of what you're trying to get across.
So allogeneic stem cell transplant for CLL used to be the only curative approach, and it was the only approach we had for patients like those with 17p deletions. What we've been talking about here is there are now three or four very good drugs out there which have activity in that disease setting. And what's very clear is that since these drugs have become available, the number of allogeneic stem cell transplants that are being offered has just plummeted. So you could argue right now that ibrutinib and venetoclax have done to transplant in CLL what imatinib did to transplants in CML 20 years ago. Whether or not there's a later resurgence as these people become resistant, I don't know. But what looks very clearly is allogeneic stem cell transplant was a high-risk procedure for these more elderly patients with CLL. And we were doing it because we'd no choice. Now we've got a choice. We're able to offer patients much better treatment approaches. And allogeneic stem cell transplant, at the very least, has been pushed right back into the treatment algorithm compared to where it was just a few years ago.
So you have a 56-year-old man with von Willebrand disease with CLL who you gave adalimumab to. He got pneumonitis. Now he's on venetoclax. You're thinking about allo in this patient. How come?
Well, because he has an absolute contraindication to receiving ibrutinib or acalabrutinib. He has already had idelalisib, and of course I use that because venetoclax wasn't available at the time that he needed it, and he got a period of time from it. And he's now still a young man on potentially his last. So what with him, I'm doing with him is I'm working him up for a transplant for a rainy day, so to speak. If he starts to progress through venetoclax, I don't have another option for him. And under that circumstance, allogeneic stem cell transplant then becomes the only game I have in town. And what I don't want to do is find out that I missed the window of him relapsing from venetoclax and then start thinking about an allogeneic transplant. And by the time I find him a donor, his disease already escaped because I've got nothing to retreat him back into that state. So for me, it's kind of back to where I was with that first patient. I've always liked to have one more option available to me after the one I'm treating now. And fortunately, the field's gone along over the last few years as we just had ibrutinib. Now we've got ibrutinib venetoclax. Now we've got other BTK inhibitors. Now we're talking about combinations. We've always got that next line becoming available. But when you come to the end of those lines, that's when you have to start thinking about going back to what else we've got. And what we've got is for a young patient is a potentially curative approach that we shouldn't completely throw away. But it's going to be for these more niche patients that you might have to think about. There's other reasons why they're going to fail.
Have you heard the term CLL is the new CML?
I think what's very clear is that for a lot of us, ibrutinib, wonderful as it is, was never an imatinib. What is ibrutinib venetoclax imatinib? Maybe. Maybe it's even better because 20 years later, we still don't know who to stop imatinib for. And we're already stopping patients with the ibrutinib venetoclax combinations. So are either of those drugs alone are equivalent of imatinib? I would argue no, but maybe that combination together is going to do it.